It's a safe bet Deborah Ginsberg has served up a fair share of French fries in her career as a waitress. Ginsberg is the author of Waiting, the story of her 20 years as a server. I asked her just how crazy things can get waiting tables.
When you, and this happens so often, you come in for the shift and for dinner, and the lunch shift has done an awful job, and the kitchen's already out of everything, and the cooks are already screaming mad, and it's only 4:30, and there's a huge rush coming in, and there's several big parties. Maybe it's June, and it's dads and grads, you know, so you've got the families coming in, and they don't really want to be there, and they're all going to come in at the same time, and the hostess brings like 5 tables into your station all at once and seats them all at the same time, then looks at you and gives you a little smirk because she doesn't like you anyway because you haven't kicked back to her recently, and everybody wants a special order, and they have things on their mind that they want you to make for them, and the chef is mad at you, and so he won't do it, and shall I go on?
I'm just wondering why you continue to wait table after a night like that.
Well, the money's good, you know. The money's really good, and supported myself and my son for many, many years, single mother, waiting on tables. And, of course, there is the thrill. There's sort of the lottery aspect to it. You never really know how much you're going to make, and it could be a bundle tonight. You just don't know. And so there's that, and you meet people, and it's not always horrendous. You know, some nights are bad and some nights are better and some nights are pretty good. So it evens out in the end.
I don't think I realized until I began reading your description of what it's like to go to a restaurant from the other side that waiting tables is really kind of an art form when it's well done, isn't it?
I think so, and there's definitely an art to it, and there are people who are better at it, and these are artists and writers and actors, of course, because it's a bit of a show, and part of the art of it is how you can mold yourself and how good you are at becoming another person or adopting a different persona, and that all is part of it, and if you're not the kind of person who can do that very well, then chances are it isn't the kind of job that will appeal to you so much.
The funny thing about that is that I think everybody on hearing you talk about that recognizes it immediately, but probably hasn't thought about it. I mean, if I thought about waiting as an art form, I'd think about how difficult it is to carry all of those different plates at the same time and make sure that everybody gets their meal at the same time. What you're talking about is a whole different element. You're trying to put on a performance for the people at the table.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I worked with my sister for a long time, and my sister was really good at this. I mean, she liked having regulars, and they knew her life, and they knew my life, too. And they'd come in, and how's this, and how's that, and chat with her and fill up her section. And she used to call it, you know, it's my show. This is my show. Welcome to my show.
So how many different elements have to come together for a server to do a good job on a busy Saturday night?
It's a lot, you know. Within yourself, you need to be pretty centered, and you need to know what you're doing, and you have to be coordinated and have a lot of things going on at the same time. You need to know, you know, you've got 5 tables. Each one of them is at a different stage. This one doesn't want salad. This one wants drinks first, wants you to wait a while. No shrimp in that one. And you've got to time it all right. But then you've got to know how fast is the kitchen tonight. Are they really on top of things, or are they really, they slowed up? Are they having a problem? Are they short? How's the bartender doing? Are you having a problem with him? Did you just break up with him recently, and, you know, now he's mad at you, so he's not making your drinks? Your busboy, is he on vacation this evening in the kitchen eating, or is he willing, actually, to take out coffee and bread today? So there's a lot of coordination going on, and then the whole thing can get thrown off if you get a table that sits down and they want to have a fight. And sometimes people come in and they're like that. You know, sometimes the gods are with you and it all goes completely smoothly. And it's like a dance. Oh, I hate to get all lofty about this. You know, when people start saying it's like a dance, it's time to get rid of them. But sometimes it is.
Or move on to the next restaurant.
Yeah.
Do you actually look at all the people when they come in? When the hostess seats a party at one of the tables in your station, do you look at them and say to yourself, okay, I know what this group wants?
Oh, yeah. Now, this is what we call customer profiling in the biz. And sometimes we would have, you know, sort of a small pot going where we would throw a couple bucks in, guess what the people would be having, what they'd be eating, and, you know, whoever was closest got the money. This is when we were really bored. But waiters, servers tend to profile, you know, this kind of person is going to tip well, this kind of person isn't. We had it broken down in terms of nationality, profession, gender, all of those things. The professions were kind of fun to break down. Like, this person's got to be a neurologist, you know?
Does that mean a good tip?
No.
Oh. What kind of table is most likely to give you a good tip, do you think?
Well, first and foremost are other servers. You know, when you have your fellow waiters come in, and if they're in a restaurant, you know who they are, or they'll say, "Hey, I work at such and such a place," and waiters always give waiters the best service, and they're the easiest people to wait on, and they tip the best because they know the story. So aside from those people, my favorite table were always, you know, businessmen with the company credit card.
Yeah,
well, they're generous with other people's money. You know?
One of the things that is in this book is sort of the revelation of what goes on behind the scenes. Before we started talking on broadcast, you were telling me about meeting somebody who was a waiter at a restaurant that you go to regularly. And how do you feel when you go in there as a customer?
I try not to think about what goes on back there. Because as somebody who's worked back there for, you know, over 20 years, I know what goes on. And these are not necessarily active acts of villainy that are going on back there, you know, spitting, etc. But just the little things that happen in any busy kitchen, stuff falls and maybe it's not totally clean. And, you know, I don't know if maybe their hot water heater broke down, which would happen a lot at one of the restaurants I worked. And they, of course, just wash things with cold water, which violates about 27 health department regulations. And I know that these things happen, and they happen in every restaurant. And so when I go to a restaurant, I really try not to think about what's going on in that kitchen. Because if I did, I really wouldn't want to eat there. And I still go out to eat, and you do, and we all do, and we very seldom get ill, and even less often die from eating in restaurants. So, you know, it's sort of a leap of faith, I guess.
Deborah Ginsberg has waited tables for more than 20 years. She's the author of Waiting, The True Confessions of a Waitress.